Yeah, I'll have a large extra butter popcorn, and she'll have snow caps? Really? Snow caps? They taste like cardboard. Okay.
Come along, it's time for you to listen to the interview from DC to MCU. It's time for Rundown Reviews. Rundown Reviews. Rundown Reviews.
We'll go ahead and start in on this another episode of Small Screen Rundown. With me today, we got returning from one of my, one of the co-hosts of Ranger Alliance, we've got Tony. Hi, Tony.
What up, everybody? Good, yourself, man?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Busy day myself. One of two mows of the lawn I gotta do today. Yay. Ooh, well, tomorrow.
That's
like one.
That's always a whoops.
Grass grows quick here in Indiana. I don't know. It sucks. Plus, I had to raise it up high and a lot of the rain and whatever. It's a whole thing. Also with us today, making his debut on small screens. He's been on the show before. Returning from the Elite Eight Showdown, we got Big Chuck. What's up, bud?
Mr. Gennaro, thank you for having me on, you sweet angel.
It's really weird. Like, I invited you on for like two shows, which will essentially be three shows. And then I listened to the episode from yesterday. And somebody was complaining that I don't invite him on the show.
Right. I believe my exact words were, it's total and utter complete nonsense that my co-host got on your show more than
the
I
only
did.
Reason,
and he only doesn't even like your show. He wouldn't even respond to your messages.
That's okay. Hold on. To defend him a little bit, I can't. But he was on the comics part, right, which I cut up. Versus you're on the one for like the long time. You've been on the movie stuff, man.
Sure. But he also got on the chitty chats. You know what I mean?
You can lord it over him that you will, after next week, you'll be on three of my four segments, and he's only been on two.
And then I will invite you to my birthday party again. But until then,
okay,
you're uninvited.
He's hard. He's just like Travis Snell. The minute you talk bad about him, like he's gonna cut you out.
Yep, bam, it's over. Yep, it's totally over.
All right, guys, we're here to talk about MODOK. This show is on. It's a Marvel's MODOK, I should say. It is premiered on Hulu. What was that, May 21st, I believe?
Yes.
It's 10 episodes, half hour long. Who wants to go first talking about this show?
All right, would you like me to start right in with my love for the mechanized organism designed for killing?
Go ahead.
I love me some MODOK, all right? I am a huge MODOK.
Which is one of the reasons why I wanted you on the show.
Right. There's no reason why MODOK should be in existence. He's ridiculous. He's a giant floating head with tiny arms. He was originally created to be a serious character that nobody took serious.
I don't know why.
Well, couldn't imagine how a giant floating head could not be taken seriously.
But then he was created in what, the 50s, I believe?
Late 50s, maybe early 60s, something like that.
I know in the Captain America issue that Ryan and I read, he pops up, he's there. MODOK is there with AIM. I mean, we've 60s. Only had him the one time. 60s? Okay. Yeah. We've only had him the one time, and I know we're going to get him more, but he was kind of a serious player then.
Yeah, I mean, like, he used to be a legitimate threat, and just because, like, nobody ever took him seriously, readers never took him seriously. He kind of became just this, like, this kind of gimmick of himself, but, like, I fell in love with him at, of all things, Superhero Squad. I don't know if you ever watched it on the Cartoon Network.
Nice.
He is.
I haven't seen the whole thing, but I've seen a little bit.
He pops in and out of there, and just his, it just, fantastic. Just an app. They did such an amazing job of that character. And then there for comics, he was one of the first, I think, like Marvel digital releases where they had this like five or six book arc just called MODOK. And it's literally, it's pretty much what this show kind of, not necessarily was based on, but same concept.
Well, like, I know at the very end of each episode, they promote, like, hey, go check out this series of MODOK books. This is what the show's based on. I wonder if that's... I thought that might have been the same one, but maybe it was something different.
So there's been a couple of different versions, from my understanding. But the one that I found that I really liked is on Marvel Unlimited, and it's just called MODOK.
Gotcha.
And it's very good. It is funny. It's cheeky and funny. MODOK fits really, really well within the Deadpool universe, and I don't know why there isn't more crossover there. But from what I've been told, by Tim, who is a diehard Deadpool fan, loves him to death, thinks he's the greatest thing ever. Only thing that he loves more is Wolverine. that there is not a ton of crossover. That MODOK doesn't really pop up in that universe, which seems weird because I feel like there's a lot that they could work with there.
Yeah. What about you, Tony? What was your first introduction to the MODOK? Not just honestly, the show, but just in character in general.
Maybe I remember watching the Superhero Showdown like years ago, briefly, but also in the Kelly Thompson West Coast Avengers.
Okay, that's so the new one, right? Or is that the old one?
Like 2018 or 2017?
Yes, the one with Kate Bishop and and Gwenpool.
Yeah. So, like, I do enjoy the character from what I've read. I do wish we saw more of him. Many opportunities. You could make him be, like, a villain in Runaways, in Deadpool. There's many opportunities you could do with him, which I'm like, why do we not see much of him before? Because Marvel, when they have a new TV show, new movie, they tend to, like, push, like, that character, whether they have a mini, maxi, ongoing, or just a huge story arc. But, yeah, we didn't get anything at all from Marvel with him at all. Mm-hmm. Which shocked me.
Well, this is also part of the deal that was gone through. Not before Disney took over, but before like they dropped everything off of Hulu.
Oh, and that long this so was? Far. Wow.
Yeah. It was. When did it come about? I want to say it came about. The idea came about in like the 2016, 2017, and it was so far. And you know, don't quote me on any of that because I'm just pulling shit out of my ass right now. It was so far along in production that they just kept it going. Whereas there was a couple other shows.
Oh, 2019.
There was a couple other shows that they were thinking of making with it. Hitmonkey, Tigra and Dazzler, and Howard the Duck.
Yes. Ooh. I love
those. Are all supposed to be.
I want that one.
They're always supposed to be this adult animation television, probably done by Stupid Buddies Productions, the Stupid Monkey Seth Green thing. But those three got canceled, and MODOK was so far in production that they're like, okay, let's stick with it, I guess. I've seen MODOK throughout the comic series. I know the character. I loved the Gwenpool comics, and in there he is. He's not a joke, but he's fun. And just because Gwenpool herself is so, I don't want to call her the female Deadpool because she's not. She is she's a complete different character. Like, she's supposedly from the real world, our world, that got sucked into Marvel Comics and knows all the superheroes. So, like, she made friends with Jane Foster's Thor, with Kate Bishop, which is why she was able to join West Coast Avengers with Kate Bishop. Also, I did read that whole series, and the sexy MODOK, the bro-doc that's in there.
Yes.
Yep. Ooh, oh boy. I showed a picture of that to my girlfriend Emily, and she's just like, huh, I didn't know I was going to be attracted to MODOK. It's weird.
Yep.
Neither did half of that team.
Yeah, that was, yep. But this show, so let's go ahead and dive into it. This will be spoilers because the show's been out long enough. Long enough. It all dropped on the same day.
Right.
This show, it focuses on MODOK and his being the leader of AIM. And that's like one side of his tale. And then the main focus and what we kind of pick up on is his family side. And that's something we don't normally see in the comics. What were you guys' take on his family? Chuck, go ahead and start out.
So I loved his family. I loved the concept that MODOK even has a family to begin with. Specifically such a diverse family. And there was something that really, I don't know what it was, but it really tickled me that his daughter is also a giant floating head.
Melissa, yeah.
She was fun. Yeah, and not his son. I don't know why that was so interesting to me, but I was like, that was an interesting choice. That was an interesting move. I liked it. I thought it was really good. And it added, and as we'll kind of get into it, his family adds, not only kind of helps humanize MODOK as a character, so you kind of end up liking him, but it shows like a, I don't know, like a just a sense of like, even villains can have a good side to them, right? Because like ultimately, yeah. we always say that like villains still do something for a reason. Well, he was doing a lot of this just to keep his family together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, and it's also one of those things of what do villains do when they're not fighting a hero? Where do they go? I mean, yes, we do see in the show, like a few of them go hang out at bars, either the bar with no name or the really actually good superhero supervillain bar. But like they still have a family, so they go home to their family and they have to be the loving parents, I guess. Like it's an odd concept. Tony, what did you think of the family? What was your take?
Well, first off, all the voice actors and actress, I enjoy seeing my other stuff. So I was so glad when I saw, like for example, the wife. She's also on Lucifer. Enjoy that show. The son, he's on Brooklyn.
It's Amy Garcia is her name.
Yes, she's like the.
You don't have to tell me. I haven't watched Lucifer, and I don't plan on watching it anytime soon.
I don't watch it, man.
I'm going to, maybe, when it's done and over with completely, in like 10 years. We'll see.
Like 2 years. And then the daughter by none other than Amy Santiago from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yep.
So like, enjoying all that cast.
Romero, yep.
Yes.
Yeah, Ben Schwartz as Lou, that was fun. John Daly as the super Adaptoid. He was...
Super
Adaptoid.
Unfortunately, with all the heel face turns we got from him, I didn't care much about him. It's the whole family that I did enjoy. I'm like, okay, we can have some fun with this. Because like this show, I wasn't taking it too much seriously. So I was enjoying some of the episodes where we like saw him at the mall or just like just hanging out with his family, just wacky stuff. Like, yes, bring this like Family Guy essence to the show.
Yeah. Their choice of to give MODOK a family and focus the majority of the episodes on that and his basically just trying to live his life with it. Because, like, after the second episode, his wife wants a divorce. And it's just like, or was that the first episode? I can't remember which.
I thought first, was it?
It's very early on. And just like now he's got to deal with his family falling apart. And let's be honest, for anybody who's gone through a divorce, this guy, it's not easy. It definitely is one of those things like what MODOK did and he got an apartment and he looked like shit the entire time. Like, yeah, that's completely understandable.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there. I've done that. I got out of it, thankfully. But it's one of those situations where It's a believable situation. So seeing him basically try to fight to get his family back while still trying to be the supervillain he wants to be was an interesting take. There are definitely some moments throughout the series that probably could have been executed better.
Yes,
but all in all, like it was. It wasn't bad. Like I thought the show itself, I feel was like fine. It wasn't terrible, but it's not something that like I didn't binge it all at once. I watched like the first four episodes and I'm like, okay, this is fine. And then like I waited a couple days and watched the next couple and then waited a couple more days. Like there was no draw for me to rush to watch it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What about you guys?
At first, I did enjoy the first three episodes. The story is what I feel like went a little bit downhill towards the later half. Well, because I was very interesting with the whole divorce and his. Okay, right from the beginning, this is almost like the Marvel version of like a Harley Quinn show.
Yes. It's
like, okay, I enjoyed that. Let's, because in each episode, it's like more of an adventure within itself, while the overall story is behind it. We got that with other overall stories, which I felt was like a little bit, which one should I care more about? Which, like, you're leading me to this story, but then this is coming part. I feel like it was too much at once.
Too many storylines? Yeah, because, you know, it starts out with him having to sell AIM.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you got the storyline of him trying to get AIM back. That's storyline A. Then you got the storyline with the family, so that's storyline B. And then at some point, there's a time travel mishap, and then his past self comes back.
So yep, come back.
Storyline C. And then all that's, and those are the overarching stories. And then each episode itself has its own little thing. So you've got four different events happening while trying to keep the story going. And sometimes it didn't work out, I think.
I kind of wish that they broke up in half. Like, first five episodes, we focus on this story. And then, like, the fifth episode, towards the tail half, it leads us into that next story.
Okay.
Now, these two big bads in the last four episodes, they're flip-flopping to see which one is the, like, villain of that episode.
Yeah. Okay. Chuck?
So, before I shit all over it, I loved it. It was great. I thoroughly enjoyed watching it the whole time, and there were elements that I was not expecting to get from it. Specifically, MODOK and his wife at dinner when she is like telling him that she wants a divorce and stuff, and they have that like really serious moment conversation. When I was like, okay, this is not what I was expecting from this show, and I liked seeing that. I agree that there was too many stories. What it felt like was, we've got one shot, and if we want to tell all of these stories, and if this if it gets canceled after this season, we won't be leaving any cliffhangers, essentially.
Yeah.
So they did feel like they kind of rushed it. It would have been cool if they could have figured out a way to intertwine them a little more. Like, they did a little bit, especially when they brought in Wonder Man towards the end there.
Yeah.
That really helped kind of solidify everything and bring everything back. And, but I loved it. And the comedy, you can see where it's going to get a lot better in season two. It felt like some of the jokes were extremely forced, which I didn't care for. But that is kind of like a Patton Oswalt style of writing that kind of more, here's the joke, you know what I mean? And just laugh at it. But then there's like other moments that were just hilarious. I mean, when he gets Iron Man's boot, I must have laughed for 20 minutes because that was the funniest thing I'd ever seen.
And then, great, like, opening.
And
then he just kind of forces it. Hey, you want to take a picture of me in the boot? Like, here you go. Like, the jokes were, I agree, the jokes were there and there was a lot forced. But Patton Oswalt did such a good job as MODOK that they may have felt forced, but you still laughed at them. It may not have been like a gut-wrenching laugh, but you were still laughing. Like, I still chuckled numerous times.
Right.
Like, when was it? There was the one time when he's trying to have Melissa give him like a makeover, and he's all in on what she her ideas are. And wasn't the makeover? No, it was him trying to win over the board at the trip or on the island when the guy has to give a speech. So he's like analyzing all the other people and he's all dead set on listening to her. And then he's like, okay, so now I'm going to do this because I want to do this. And she's just like, why would you do it like that? Like, we had a plan. This is a long-term plan. But these guys are party animals, and this could be a fun thing. Like, they played those jokes off well enough that I laughed And then, like, okay, yeah, no, this actually fits. This makes sense for the character that they made, for the character they designed with MODOK. At, you know, at no point was I there. Apparently, I listened to a friend of ours, a friend Tony and I's Superhero Discussions, Travis's episode talking about MODOK. And he was talking about how there's people who were like, well, he's a villain. You shouldn't be sympathizing with the villain. Yeah, he's a villain. Mm-hmm. But this show is about him. Like, it's not not going to be a show about the villain doing villainy things. No, yeah, it's a comedy. Yeah,
he was killing him.
Yeah, he did shoot Gary off.
I mean, for having the coffee. He did drop a paper shredder on an Asgardian.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
It was kind of interesting to me how weirdly graphic it got. Every episode, it seemed to get more and more graphic. Yes.
So my favorite episode was the episode with the robots. And
yes,
that's definitely a graphic episode because they are killing all these robots violently.
Yep. Yes.
What was it? Jody rips the young future or time traveling MODOK in half. Like,
yep.
What the fuck? Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Man, that whole scene.
Yeah, that whole
episode.
I actually really enjoyed the time travel aspect. I liked the idea that MODOK would travel through time to help MODOK try to create utopia. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's such a MODOK thing to do. I just kind of wish that had been the main story overall. Like, that was the major overarching story. And then maybe one or two of the other ones. Because there was just so much, like, going on that I even kind of got lost on what was happening. I had to go back and kind of re-catch up where the... What was she? Scientist Supreme or whatever?
Yeah,
like, where that whole storyline...
Maka?
Yeah, where that, like, whole storyline even came in. I had like lost track of what was going on at that point.
Monica was a fun one because, mm-hmm. you know, we do get the time travel element of, we see her as a kid and she's happy go lucky. And she had this like, what would the, like the plant that, what was a plant
that could like regrow itself? Was it, or like do not,
which actually, if you think about it, is kind of, sort of, and this may be something from the comics, I'm not 100% sure, but it's kind of, sort of, a call back, if maybe, to Iron Man 3, when the one doctor that Maya.
Tony at the beginning, had the same name.
Yeah, I mean, she was working with plants, and mm-hmm. it's supposed to regenerate the limbs, and obviously MODOK fucks it all up because MODOK. But then that drives her vengeance to go. Well, that's the interesting thing with the whole time travel element. It was supposed to drive her to go take out MODOK, but then those past future selves get out of the timeline, so that technically didn't happen. I guess, I don't know. Time travel,
you know.
Confusing time.
A wise man by the name of Joe Gennaro once told me, comic logic.
Yes.
So.
Very much so.
Yeah.
But I do like another episode, like they're having a couple flashbacks, and it was the episode where Monica kills an Avenger, which I think might have been Giant Man. I'm not 100% sure.
I believe that's
Because I know Travis was thinking it was Daredevil, which I kind of like, no, I don't think it was. But Giant Man makes sense because Giant Man does get killed a couple times in the comics. So,
yeah.
I don't know. You don't actually see. Right. So I was thinking it was that. But so she kills him, this Avenger, and MODOK comes in and takes the credit for it. But then does the thing of like, look, I'm sorry, I had to take the credit. The men would not have respected me if I didn't. But here's the skull, and here is something else. You're still like my favorite out of everybody. Like, he's having that sweet side, or that kind side to her. This person who idolizes MODOK and joined AIM to work with him because science for science sake, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the whole, she became the science supreme, or what was it? The command, whatever the hell it was. You literally just said a few minutes ago, Chuck, and I totally forget. But it's...
Science supreme, or scientist supreme, I think was her name. Which I assume was supposed to be a play on Sorcerer Supreme,
probably,
Dr. Strange.
Maybe. They definitely did a lot of fun little, like, things with the show. Not like callbacks, but they definitely were touching on other elements of the Marvel Universe.
Little tongue-in-cheeky things that they were doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But she becomes the head of, beep, of AIM once it gets sold to a Grumble, which, you know, is just whatever evil corporation of the week, tech corporation of the week. And then they demote MODOK and promote her. So that's the whole where the Scientist Supreme comes in. She's now the head of AIM. And she thinks, okay, cool, now I can do all the stuff. And Austin, along with Grumble, is like, no, now you got to do this stuff because that's what the board wants. And then the board's a whole other subplot of they're these evil beings who want to destroy the world. Yay.
Which they kind of remind me of, like, the Runaways. Are this like a nod to the first run of those bad guys? Like, three beings who want to destroy the... Like, I feel like the show took many nods from the whole, like, Marvel, not just
MCU,
the
MCU,
even
Marvel
MCU, even.
Yeah.
Because, like, Iron Man 3, maybe that's why he was the first hero we saw, with AIM being both of the...
Well, yeah, and AIM was in Iron Man 3. It's not the same AIM, but it's AIM. Yeah. So, I don't know. It's fun. Even though this show is its own thing, it's not connected to any other Marvel property right now. Although I am a little sad because looking up some trivia, those other three shows, had they been made, they would have done a crossover with all four and called the crossover The Offenders, and I would have been here for it.
Yeah, I would have super enjoyed that. That is such a shame we didn't get that.
I mean, who knows? Maybe the show will get popular enough to where it will get a second season, and maybe it could actually get those other shows to come about. I don't know, though, because it was fun. The show was fine. I don't see myself watching it again anytime soon. That's the big thing. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I'm not usually a go back and rewatch things most of the time anyway. I might go back and rewatch the heist episode is fantastic.
That one was good.
That was probably, maybe it's a tie between Heist and Asgard of like which one was my favorite. Although everything with Wonder Man absolutely just was phenomenal. I don't know what it was about his character.
Maybe
also just a combination of I just really don't like Wonder Man. So I was like, yeah, of course he would be this douche. You know what I mean? Like, of course he would be this guy. But I thoroughly loved and appreciated that. But, like, that heist episode was fantastic. Because it was all these, like, D-list villains and stuff that, like, I completely had forgotten about. Most of them I had to look up because I just didn't remember. There was character like Whirlwind was randomly in there, and I only knew who Whirlwind.
Couple times.
Yeah, and the only reason why I knew who Whirlwind was because back when I was a kid, and I used to play HeroClix. He was like one of the first HeroClix I ever got, and that's it. That's the only reason why I knew who Whirlwind was.
I think he shows up. I think we've touched either we've read him in a book. I think it's actually a Daredevil villain. I could be wrong. But I think we've either read them in a book, like in the background, or it's going to be in an upcoming episode, maybe. But I know I've seen him trying to find some what we're going to be covering for the main show. I've definitely come across him in the comics that I'm looking at, that we're going to be reading. So that one is fun. That's awesome. And yeah, you're right. They were pulling these, I didn't even want to call them all D-listers, because when he goes to like the super villain, the actual supervillain bar, you see Mr. Sinister, you see the leader, you see Madam Mask. Like, I mean, they haven't been... Mr. Sinister is, you know, X-Men. He's a big deal. The leader is the Hulk. He's kind of a big deal. Madame Mask is Iron Man. Like, she's come and gone throughout the series for many years. But then, yeah, we go over to the bar with no name, and we got all these D-list people. And it's just like, I think that's really what it was. Everybody had to go look up who these characters were, because it's like, wait, are these actual characters? Armadillo talking about how the name of the group should be the Armadillo Six. Like, yes. You just, what?
Yes.
That was pretty good.
It was fantastic.
Okay, so what else do we want to chat about? I there's not a whole lot of trivia that came with this with the series, other than what I told you about with the four shows not making it.
Do you guys think that they should have used more Marvel characters to like appear, or do you think like enough is enough? Because I feel like maybe he need a couple more to like have his own show. Because like I feel like one thing about the Harley Quinn show, like, I love when they have other characters from the DC universe appear, like how Damian was a few episodes. I wish we got the same thing. I wish we got more either heroes or villains, just something like, oh, I know that character, so I can, like, just attach to.
Well, maybe, but I think the thing with the Harley Quinn show was the Marvel characters are in the mainstream right now. Like, everybody who has seen any of the MCU knows these characters, and that's a good thing. And yes, that would have drawn people to the show. But I do remember hearing that, you know, when Patton Oswalt asked about the characters to be in, they were surprised on some that they could use, and then they were, like, flabbergasted that some they couldn't. Like, they when they said Iron Man, they thought they were just throwing it out there, like, oh, well, yeah, we won't be able to use it, but let's see what we can do. And they're like, Marvel was like, yeah, go ahead and use him, that's fine. It's Iron Man. Everybody knows Iron Man. They asked to use Stilt Man, and they got denied.
What?
Exactly.
Stilt Man is the greatest character ever made, and it is infuriating to me now that I'm going to tell Tim this, because Tim and I, on Elite Showdown, we are Stilt Man marks to the day we die. We love Stiltman. Anybody who can take a rocket to the dick from Punisher, like, and then be the reason why an entire bar gets blown up, like, Stiltman is the greatest villain that they ever made, and it is infuriating that he was not allowed in this show.
Well, that shame on you. Think that makes me think that they might have a use for him in the MCU.
But why? Where?
Because it's Stiltman.
Where could they put Stiltman in a serious role other than maybe? In the MCU, I really don't. He's got to be in Deadpool then. He's got to show up in the next Deadpool.
Maybe Deadpool. Maybe in one of the TV shows on Disney Plus. I don't know. Who knows? It's Marvel. They have a plan.
Dumb. Stupid.
Well, they got a better plan than DC. I'll say that. But like that's the one I heard about, how they couldn't use him, and I'm like, that's interesting because Stiltman is, For lack of a better term, he is a D-list character. He is known, yes, but he's no, you know, he's no Thanos, he's no Loki, he's no, like, big problem. He's Stiltman.
I mean, I feel like Warwin is more known than Stiltman a bit.
Well, yeah,
but insult Stiltman like that.
As soon as I said Stiltman, you both were like, "What?" Like, you both knew who Stiltman was. So
love Stiltman. I love him. Lady Stiltman.
I've only
seen
a few episodes. Oh, Lady Stiltman.
Yeah,
yeah. Lady Stiltman is a thing.
So having more characters, I would have loved that. That would have been fine. But going back to my original point of Harley Quinn, it's not. Outside of Batman, which you put Batman in everything, obviously Batman's going to be in the Harley Quinn show because she's a Batman adjacent character. You can use a lot more characters in Harley Quinn because not a lot is being used in the movie universe. Now, a lot of villains were being used in the CW, but as Tony, as you know, CW don't give a fuck. So
they used to.
They used to. Fortunately. Yeah. But so I feel like obviously this being Harley Quinn being something that's completely by itself, they were able to pull in other characters, and that's fine. MODOK, right now Marvel is a hot brand. The MCU is a hot brand. So they're pushing that all the way. Like, I honestly, if, like I said, if this wasn't as far in production as it was, it probably would have got canned. We probably would have never saw this movie, this show. Which doesn't give me hope for a season two. I would they do a season two? Yeah, I'd probably watch it, but I'm not like gonna be there day one.
I mean, maybe, so far, I maybe feel a lot of people love the show so far.
Okay, good. That's good because I haven't seen any, like, all the reviews I've seen have just been like middle of the road. Nothing's been like super awesome, and nothing's been like super bad. It's just been like, oh yeah, it's a show, it's fine. Just go watch it, have fun with it. Which is what I would say. If you've got time to kill, and you want to watch something robot chicken adjacent, go have fun with
it. So I think the biggest thing that hurt this show was the fact that it was a Marvel show. Because people, because the MCU has, right, yes, everything has been doing so well. WandaVision changed the way that we were going to look at these yes, series, right? Mm-hmm. Because WandaVision was so wacky, it was so out of, but it was phenomenal. And then, in my opinion, Falcon Winter Soldier came out and it was a letdown. It it was good. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, and I'm a huge Winter Soldier fan, and I love him in the MCU, and I love what they're doing with that series. Maybe it was just MCU burnout at that point, but I was just like, no, like I'd rather go watch Invincible right now because it's more interesting to me than this is. So I feel like everybody's like, okay, this is going to be the next WandaVision, and when we set that expectation, yeah, the show was going to fall flat, and I think a lot of people did that. A lot of people thought this was going to be the next funniest thing we've ever seen because it's got Marvel stamped on it. It's like, no, it's a floating head that is made from stop motion action figures.
Yes.
Like you have to treat it for what it is.
Although I did see a behind the scenes picture of Patton Oswalt talking to a couple guys in like a green suit, like the green bodysuits and a green screen behind him. And he was in a MODOK outfit. Like he had the chair and the arms and the leg.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And he was sitting there. Like it was just a funny picture, but maybe he did do some motion capture. I don't know.
So I believe the more action oriented stuff was probably more like CG. Like it kind of looked like it. It didn't look like it was totally stop motion.
Speaking of the action stuff, the fight between MODOK and Monica. Oh, that fantastic. Was awesome because they jumped through like so many different video game aesthetics and I loved it.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that was really, really good. But I think the more closer up stuff probably was like stop motion. Yeah, yeah, motion capture and stop motion and stuff. Overall, I loved this show. I like that we're just getting MODOK because like we had said, MODOK wasn't really exposed to too many people. For the people that played the Avengers video game that had just come out a year or two ago, he was the main villain, and he was taken very seriously in that. And it was, I liked it. I know a lot of people had,
which probably
different
helped,
things to say,
which probably helped the show stay on track.
Mm-hmm.
Like because the game came out, it's like, oh hey, MODOK is serious. We need to focus on this now. Let's go ahead and continue with the show. Even though I know Marvel knew what the show was going to be, it's Patton Oswalt. Like,
right.
I'm not saying he can't play serious, but he's a comedian. Like,
right. He's a comedian. Yeah. He's very much a comedian. I'm sure he has done some serious roles, but I can't really think of any.
My first thought was the one about lying, the movie, but that's not the right. That's Ricky Gervais. So I'm like. Right. I know they can't be. I know they're not interchangeable, but for whatever reason, I just thought it was.
Fair.
So let's go ahead and talk about the ending and how we've jumped around a little bit with the show, and again, the show itself, it's the through lines that we talked about earlier are there throughout the whole thing, and it obviously escalates as it's going. It all culminates, there we go, words are hard, culminates to the final episode where the young MODOK, time-traveling MODOK, now called Anomaly, comes in, and he's trying to kill MODOK's family. And he has to succeed because this is what MODOK wants. Like, MODOK himself, he wants to take over the world, and that's his ultimate goal. But to do that, his family has to die. Mm-hmm. And then we see Anomaly do that, kill the family. Well, kill the family. I'm using air quotes there because we don't actually see it. We see MODOK's face and it zooms in on it. And then he closes his eyes and we hear the missiles hit the family. Hit the family. I'm using air quotes again. And then it jumps to the future. And now Emperor MODOK is ruling the world. And he has Anomaly tied up in the basement and trying to get his family back. Obviously, I think his family's still alive. What about you guys?
I'd be shocked if they are dead because, one, it's a comic book show. Like, if you don't fully see them dead, they're still alive. And even when you see them dead, they can still come back.
Well, yeah, especially the episode before, it was all these robots. You saw Jody rip Anomaly apart, and then he pops back up. I bet you guys didn't know that you were a robot. We know. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. They definitely threw that in your face. What about you, Charlie?
I think the thing is that they're still going to be alive, and then at the end of season two, they're going to be robots.
If we get season two. Like, it hasn't been announced yet. I can see them doing it, but
it's I think they'll get one more season out of it. I think they're going to get one season, six episodes. I think they're going to get short seasoned on it.
Okay.
But they're promoting the hell out of it. It's all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they obviously believe in it at least enough to do that. I think it will. I don't think they're going to instantly greenlight a second season. I think they're going to wait to see what the streaming numbers look like and things like that.
Give it a month. Check everything out.
Right. Yep. And then, shoot a second season. And I do think it deserves it. I think there's still more stories there, even though they did a fairly good job of wrapping everything up. You know, they did a good job of wrapping up the 20 bajillion stories in the first season. To kind of leave it where it's like, okay, we can see where they're going to go with the second season. I wouldn't be surprised. So, like, an element of MODOK is the fact that there's all these other versions of MODOK, right? Yes. And all these alternate realities and timelines and things like that. So I have a feeling if we get a season two, we're going to get, like, Spider-Doc. And we're going to get Hulk-Doc. You know, all these different versions of MODOK that are going to pop up. I can see that happening with a, like, big, giant MODOK fight scene, which I'm super hyped about. Like, I hope that's what we happen. Get.
Well, and because they played with space and time in this season, it almost guarantees if we get a second season, they're probably going to do that. It will be Emperor MODOK jumping through time and space and popping into these different eras, more than likely. So, I can see that as a possibility. Tony, you got a possibility for season two?
Season two. I mean, honestly, ideally, I do wish, like, the Grumbles was a season one big bad. Season two was this big Anomaly. Bad because it felt weird. Because it felt weird, like, how it started with, like, and then how it ended. I'm like, wow, this is a huge moment that we're just going to end up on. I feel like I did not see this coming. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but for season two, I can see him, like, getting replacements from other universes before finding his actual family from, like, this universe.
Okay.
But, yeah, at least one episode or two episodes even of him just going to other timelines, just be all goofy and all these different variations of MODOK. We'll get at least one episode.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I hope they do a season two. We're living in a time where comic book properties are just a stone's throw away, literally, right now. on mm-hmm. any sort of streaming service, and I'm here for it. I was just talking the other day, or I think I messaged in our chat the other day, that like when I was 15, that was like mid-90s, there was nothing. You had like the fourth Batman movie coming out, and that was a, maybe, might be kind of cool, but eh. And mm-hmm. like there was nothing. There was nothing superhero-wise, nothing comic book-wise. And now it's every other week we're getting an announcement of what's coming out.
Oh yeah.
So if they do a second season, I would as much as I didn't watch this day one, I would still watch that. Like I still finished the show. Took me a week, but I finished the show. Same. If they do a season two, I'll watch the show. I'll give it my time.
Mm-hmm.
So like that's the only thing I can give it because I'm already paying for the service. So you know,
right.
I'm hoping that season two. Oh, sorry.
No, you good. Go ahead.
I'm hoping that season two maybe will change my mind of how I feel overall about season one. Because right now I'm like, it started out strong, and then for me it went slightly downhill a bit. Maybe season two is like, hey, you know what? We set things up in season one, parts that you didn't like, to make better storylines in season two. So I'm hoping for at least
give it a payoff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, with Harley Quinn, they had a lot of that where season one set up a lot of things for season two, but they also made both seasons at the same time. So they had that, the connectivity better because everything's right there on the storyboard as they're making it versus this, where they just did these season one, 10 episodes. Now they have to go back and check out that storyboard, check out the everything to try and match it up. Like, I'm not saying that the minute they're done, they forget everything, but maybe? I don't know. So, I think that is probably about it. We talked to that. Unless there's anything else you guys want to bring up.
Yeah, one thing real quick.
Yeah.
The fact that MODOK never gets taken seriously is always really funny to me. But he always is kind of like one stone's throw away from just being a straight murderer. Oh, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like he could so easily do it. One of my favorite characters even is the AIM minion who was missing his arm the whole time.
Gary.
Yeah. Gary, thank you. I wanted to say Larry.
Like, yes. Legends, this one, all Gary's.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, like I love Gary and like Gary and his partner. That was like I was not expecting that. And that was phenomenal. Oh my god, that was so good. It was so cleverly like worked in and stuff. But one of the things that I love is the idea like he is this like ridiculous character who could just in a second just like destroy the world if he wanted to. He could do it. So I play Marvel Crisis Protocol, which is a tabletop miniatures game based around the Marvel Universe. MODOK was one of the first characters that came out for that game as an expansion. They dropped MODOK and Hulk as like the first two big characters.
Wow.
And everybody was like, who the hell is MODOK? Like,
Okay.
Like, who is this? And why is Hulk with him? You know what I mean? Like, cause like Hulk came out at the same time and they designed MODOK that like this game came out a year and a half ago. He is still one of the most played characters because of just how great he is in the game. And everybody was like, yeah, why wouldn't the giant floating head that looks ridiculous be one of the best characters they've ever made? You know what I mean? So like, I just love this idea that MODOK is just so ridiculous and so over the top. Completely unsettling when he takes his armor off. I didn't know that he had a body.
Same.
I just thought he was a giant floating head and like those were mechanical arms.
Well, and that fits in the Marvel universe. Like that would be
right.
It would almost make sense. But yeah, like he's literally just a man with a giant head.
Yes.
With a tiny body. Like
yes. Hmm. And it was I was not expecting that at all.
Okay.
At all.
Okay. That works.
Yeah, but overall, I thought it was a great show. If they give me a season two, I will watch it. I'm very interested to see. I really want MODOKverse. Like, I want all the different MODOKs. I want Thordok. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. give me all of them.
And that,
give me
you
all
know,
the
again,
Thors, or all the MODOKs.
They are in a way, they built up to that. So they could mm-hmm. have that if we get a season two.
Right.
Big if there. Yep.
Big if. Big but if. They could do it.
Yeah.
They could do it.
I can see
they
that happening.
Yeah.
Hey, Tony, you got anything else you want to talk about for MODOK?
I mean, I feel like there wasn't much to it, too. Like, in my opinion, the best part about the show, the characters. The characters made the show. Like, to yeah. me, the story went downhill, but thankfully, the characters, like how we said, Gary's husband and boyfriend was like, he hates MODOK. Like, just his anger towards MODOK was great. I was like, okay, I want to see more of this. Yeah. Well,
and what I loved about it was like when you go home and you complain about your boss to your significant other, mm-hmm. right? Like, that was the hatred. It's just like, oh, yeah, this is the guy that makes, you know, my partner just come home and be miserable all day. And you have no reason to dislike them necessarily other than this one thing. And I just absolutely loved that dynamic that, like, even arch-villainy, for whatever reason, is still like an office job, you know? And like it was things that like Venture Brothers always touched on that they kind of like made a little more mainstream here, and I just really loved it.
Yeah. Oh, Venture Brothers. That's a fun show.
Actually, one last thing.
I missed that show.
What were your thoughts of Austin throughout the series? Because like, I feel like I thought he was gonna be a major character, but then he went slowly downhill, and like just his ending felt off. I'm like, oh, this is how we're gonna end his
character. Anticlimactic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Felt it wasn't very Chuck, quite.
You wanna take that one first?
So I thought it was supposed to be a rib on Seth Green for a long time.
Oh.
Like I don't know why. That's just kind of what it felt like to me. Like a little bit. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. excuse me. But overall, I thought it was an interesting character. But I agree, it just kind of randomly stopped.
Very he was very dude bro-ish.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He was very my dad is the owner.
And
I was handed the
job. I could do
job,
anything I
you
want.
Know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, but yeah, obviously there toward the end of his arc, he's like, "Oh, well, I have this dog now." And I can't remember the dog's name, but like I got this dog now, and then he gets merged with the dog because he accidentally goes into one of Monica's machines.
Fusion thing.
And becomes like this monster. And then he ends up getting run over and killed by Gary. Like, okay, cool.
Yeah, it was like super random. I don't think he's dead either. I think he'll come back in season two as like super mutant.
Mutate with a dog that, again.
Well, yeah, but like not. now he's like a Frankenstein. You know what I mean? Like
yeah, I gotcha.
Something weird like that. Yeah,
I gotcha. Okay.
Because when in doubt, they've acknowledged that Mr. Sinister exists in this universe. So we could just get Bar Sinister. Yeah, okay. You know what I mean? Like we could just get 4,000 different clones of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope not.
I like that they stick with just a MODOK centric base, if that makes sense. Like he definitely we saw Sinister and Leader and Madam Mask, and they interacted, but it just stayed strictly on MODOK and just his world because he's such a self-involved. There we go. He's so self-involved with himself, obviously. That's all he needed.
Right.
So I don't know. But I think that's probably a good time to wrap it up. Gentlemen, thank you both for coming on. Tony, why don't you go ahead and start out and let everybody know where they can find you.
Yeah, shit. You can find me at Instagram at comic_discuss, followed by Twitter as well, by at WaltGator93. I'm also on Ranger Alliance starting this week on Mondays.
Yes.
Every other Monday.
Be tomorrow, because this is coming out on Sunday.
Cool.
So, part of the Geek Ultimate Alliance Network, go check that network full of shows out.
Every week.
Yep. Chuck, go ahead and give out your
digits. Oh, thank you, Mr. Gennaro. Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, cats and squirrels, you can find my show, Elite 8 Showdown, on all podcasting networks, where we take an 8-subject bracket elimination tournament every week on literally anything and everything. We've done everything from the worst person to date your daughter to the never-ending saga of crowning the greatest video game of all time.
Yes.
Where we're burning through every console, not only just the greatest game for that console, but also crowning a cult classic that would be then entered into the greatest of all time.
Mm-hmm.
We do things like, we just did the hottest mom on television in honor of Mother's Day. You know, shows like that. Yeah, that was a fun, that was actually a super fun episode. I loved that episode. It's a fun, it's weird, it's wacky, it's a fever dream. It will probably trigger you at some point because all of our fans just scream at us about how awful we are.
Not all. I haven't screamed at you yet.
That's okay. Super
much.
Fair. Super
much.
Fair. Much. Right. Exactly. But you can find my show over at the Professional Casual Network. Just check out professionalcasual.com. There's a ton of shows over there. If you love D&D live plays, that's the other place. I'm the redheaded stepchild of the network. Nobody likes my show, and then it's like all these D&D podcasts, and it's super weird, but I'm over there. So check it out. It's a fun show, and yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I love listening to it. Now that you're in season 3, I have to now figure out a new bracket for you guys. Because I have to give you, I've got to give you one bracket a season.
Yeah, we need one bracket a season, and we are already scraping the bottom of the barrel here, buddy.
Already, so, literally just started season 3. Jesus.
Listen, so to be totally transparent, I was so sick that I almost died a couple weeks ago, and I got to take 2 weeks off, and it was probably the best thing that ever happened to our show because I was able to write so much content. So it worked out really well.
Nice. Very
yes.
Nice. Yep. Obviously, you guys listen to the show. You know all of our things. You can find our T-shirts over at Redbubble and TeePublic. Go rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and whatever podcatcher you use. We will read the reviews on the air. I got a couple emails that might have Ron read. It depends if we record it in person again. But when next Chitty Chats with old Chuck here, we'll have those read. So
nice.
Also, you can find us on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, and you can email your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. The music was done by Cam, who from Wreck My Podcast, and he's one half of the Sex Turtles. And I think that's it. Go check out these guys. Go check out their shows. Radio Alliance and Elite 8 Showdown, they're both great. And I'm not saying that because I've, been on both of them at all. Not saying that at all. But again, thank you guys for coming on here and talking MODOK with me.
Anytime.
This is great.
Yeah, this was super fun. Anytime I get to rave about MODOK, like, I'm on board. So.
Well, if they have a season 2, you both are coming back.
Heck yeah.
You gotcha.